The salvation which the believer possesses, he owes entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not of our own works that we have received this. And in eternity, we are going to give praise to Him and to Him alone. The words of the song that we shall sing in the 5th chapter of Revelation in verse 9 go like this: Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The gospel message tells us that Christ has done it all, and that all to Him we owe. The law keeping has no part whatever in obtaining salvation, nor is the law given to be a rule of life for the Christian. I wish to show today from an incident that the Lord Jesus uses that the gospel is solely of grace apart from the works of law whatever. In the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel, we read that a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, or teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Here's a picture of one who would do something. He would seek, as we might say, to keep the law, seek to commend himself to God, that he might receive eternal life. This is all contrary to the principle of how God gives eternal life we know. And the Lord uses this incident, the question of this man tempting him, seeking to trip him up, to bring out a marvelous truth and emphasize the fact, dear hearer, that salvation is solely through grace, and that man is utterly unable, as the law has proven him to be, to keep the law of God and merit salvation. Now the Lord answers this man in this way. He says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? You see, the Lord not only answers man's questions, he knows what is in man's heart, and he seeks to answer his need. So he brings them right on the basis of that on which he came to him. He came to him wanting to do something, so the Lord gives him something on that basis to do. The man answered quite readily, for he knew the law. He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus answered him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So taking him on the basis in which he approached him, the Lord says, This do, and thou shalt live. Now let us see what this entails. It is true that in the Old Testament we read that a man that does the law, that keeps the statutes, was to live in them. But the point was that the law, even though if it were kept, never promised eternal life in the sense as we wish to display. It is that which promised long life on earth. But who is it that ever kept the law? Not one, save the Lord himself when he was here. And the law was not given to give man life. The law, as we shall seek to show, was given to show man that he needed a life giver, and that he needed salvation to be given to him, and not through any merits of his own. So the Lord, when he said, This do, and thou shalt live, immediately the man who asked the question, willing to justify himself, he manifests that his conscience has been smitten, and that the law has already begun to do its work in his heart, because he knows that he has not kept those very words of the law that he himself has just recited. He mentions, "Who is my neighbor?" seeking to draw attention away from his own failing. But I would ask that you notice here that he does not mention God at all. The law has said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Oh, his own conscience made him realize that he had not done this. And right at the start, then, he has failed. He knows it, but he doesn't want to admit it. And so he would seek to turn the attention away from the full force of the law and ask the question, "Who is my neighbor?" This is the way man works. He desires to cover up, desires to shift the blame, but already Moses has accused this one who would seek to keep the law to inherit eternal life. But now the Lord Jesus desires to reach this man, and he knows how to do it. And he wishes to put before him a scene of a certain man on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho as a picture of one who receives salvation. One who cannot keep the law. One who cannot do anything for himself. One who is absolutely rendered useless and helpless because of sin. This is the picture. And I have no doubt. I know for sure that the Lord desired to reach this man as he desires to reach every man on the face of the earth, every son of Adam, impressing upon him the fact of his utter helplessness. This is what the law was given for, to prove to man that he was utterly ungodly and absolutely without strength. You know, the first giving of the law, for instance, speaking of the law of Moses, was brought down by Moses, and the golden calf was in the camp, and Moses broke the tables of stone. Had he come into the camp with those tables of stones, everyone would have died, because the law says, "He that does them shall live, but he that does not do them shall die." They broke the first commandment. The first giving of the law, then, proved that man was utterly ungodly. And then God gave the law again, mingled with mercy, and put the people of Israel under it for a number of years, for nearly 2,000 years. And what did this prove? It proved to man, God already knew it, that man was utterly unable to keep the law. So we have here, in the man before us, this certain lawyer, one who would seek to do something for eternal life, we have him being condemned by his very own words. He said that he would have no doubt kept the latter part of the law, the two tables of the stone. One had to do with responsibility toward God. The other had to do with responsibility toward man. This certain lawyer would gladly have relieved himself from the former. And just like many people today, they think that if they do good towards their neighbor and fulfill their responsibility toward man, that they are all right, but they are only deluded. What about your relationship to God? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? And you must admit that you do not. And this is true not only of this certain lawyer, but it's true of every one of us, speaker and hearer alike. And don't continue seeking to justify yourself if that is your case, dear hearer. Accept God's condemnation against you. We know that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. If you've come to him on the basis of law, you're putting yourself under the curse. And Scripture tells us that cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And cursed is the one who puts himself under that principle of doing for salvation. It can only bring a curse, because we cannot fulfill the doing. And hence, death must be our portion. Now, in Scripture, we read that the law was given to show man his need. We read in Romans chapter 3, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And in verse 19 of that same chapter in Romans, we read that now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The usage of the law is to seek to show men that he is guilty before God. This young ruler, this certain lawyer, has already begun to feel the effects of the law which he has quoted himself, and he seeks to justify himself by saying, "Who is my neighbor?" Oh, how like man that is. I'd like you to notice, too, in Romans, or in Galatians, rather, chapter 3, it tells us that by the law is no man justified in the sight of God. I'm reading in chapter 3 and verse 11. "It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." The law is not a faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You know, the law makes demands. And the law tells us what we should do. And if you do the law, all right, you shall live. Not in heaven, though, I remind you that again. But this is what men are seeking to get to heaven by. But I wanted to show you how essential it is that if you set yourself out to keep the law, that you keep all of it. This man was simply seeking to show that he was just keeping the law as far as his neighbor was concerned. But in James chapter 2, we read these words, and I want you to notice verse 10. "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, I didn't say that. This is what God says. God is the one with whom we have to do. And we can't escape the condemnation that we bring on ourselves by putting ourselves under law, by saying, "Well, it doesn't matter in this little point. You must keep all." And friend, you are absolutely unable to do this. As the picture shows us, in which this man, this certain ruler, certainly would have to admit, the Lord turns to this man who is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho as a picture, really, of all men in their sins, away from God, who have been found out to be ungodly. And I believe very especially that this certain man gives us the picture of a convicted man. But I want to point out to you a few things in regards to him. First of all, it says he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. A man who is away from God goes astray because of his own will. It is true that we're born as sinners into the world, but man sins. He desires to do his own will, and he is found going away from God by his own will. He is going from Jerusalem, the place of blessing, the city of God, down to Jericho, the city of the curse. It speaks of the downward road that leads to destruction. You notice what befalls him along the way? It says he fell among thieves. This is the true picture of a man in his sins. A certain lawyer that we read of did not want to see this, did not want to admit this. And there are many today, no doubt, and I wonder if there is one listening to my voice who does not see himself in this condition. But you, like the certain lawyer, would justify yourself, and you feel that you do the best you can, you'll get to heaven. May this be swept away from you, because there is no hope unless you realize that you are like this man who, going your own way, falls among thieves and robbers. You know, God allows many evils to come into our life to bring us to desolation so that we'll realize our true state. Sin robs us. Yes, it does, and you know it does. It robs us of many things. The world robs us. It has nothing to give but death and despair. But you notice the man is found here, and he is a picture of one who realizes it. He's stripped also of his raiment. I believe we have a picture here of one who has been covering himself from the eye of God, he thinks, covering his own nakedness by his own works and his own keeping of the law, you might say, but this is all taken away from him. And he realizes that he's naked. And this is true. God sees through us. We cannot cover ourselves from him. He knows what we are. He knows what our hearts are like. Fig leaf aprons can cover us, and that's a good thing if we have stripped from us all that which we are seeking to cover ourselves from our nakedness from the eye of God. It's taken away from him. And then he's wounded. Yes, he has a wounded conscience. His conscience bothers him, and it's a good thing. He realizes what this is leading him to, what it has brought him into. That is his path of downwardness, waywardness, away from God, going his own will. And he has death staring him in the face. So here's a picture of a convicted man. Now, here is where the Lord Jesus would bring us, to show us that the law only shows us what we are. But it cannot give us legs or hands. It cannot produce the remedy. And that's all that the law was appointed to do. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, but what the law could not do, God has done in sending his Son from heaven to come in the likeness of sinful flesh, and by a sacrifice of himself has given himself to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might meet the man in his need. And that is a story that will be brought out for us as we, God willing, at another time shall see the certain Samaritan. We have today noticed the certain lawyer with his objection and his question. We have also noticed a certain man, which gives us a true picture of man in his need away from God. Now, God willing, we shall at another time look at the certain priest and also the certain Samaritan. God grant that each one here today who is a listener might turn to that passage and read it and find in the Good Samaritan the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to meet the need that you have brought upon yourself by your sin. And there at Calvary, he died that you might live.